Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:54 PM. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is May 2nd. And today I thought I would look at some long-term charts. It was just today was a generally a reasonably quiet day on stock markets. The oil price was pretty weak. It was down over a dollar. The dollar was a little bit firmer. Excuse me, the dollar was a little bit weaker in here today. It was the euro was a little bit stronger. The pound was a little bit stronger. But I think that the big question out there in the market right now is, where are we in the cycle? Are we going to have a new secular, or is this a secular bull market, or is this a cyclical bull market? There's a lot of people asking that question, and I think if you're a veteran subscriber, you probably know our view that this is a secular bull market, but that every secular bull market is punctuated by occasional pullbacks, and there is no denying that. This has been a very, very favorable period of time for stocks since the November low. And when we look at this long-term chart of the Nasdaq 100, the Nasdaq is one of the clear leaders. It consolidated in the region of that 2000 peak for about 2 years, and then it broke upwards, and it is continuing to extend that breakout. Now, we anticipate that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. It did range. It has exploded higher. Eventually, that will give way to a pullback and consolidation and potentially a reversion back towards the mean. But we would need to see some substantial loss of uptrend consistency to really suggest that there is top formation development here, despite the fact that it is getting a little bit hot in the short term. There is certainly the potential that we are going to have a pullback and consolidation at some point over the next few months, and not least because we are leaving the most favorable time of the year, and certainly I think a lot of people will be starting to think about the sell in May and go away, and what exactly are we going to anticipate over the next 3 or 4 months. It would be rather linear to anticipate that it's going to just continue to go higher and higher for the entire balance of the year, that without some form of pullback and consolidation. The Nasdaq has certainly been leading. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500, then it is a rather different story. That index retested its 2000 peak in 2007 and surmounted it in 2013 and broke out of an equally lengthy range in around September, October. It has paused in the region of 2400, but this doesn't look like anything other than a pause within the context of what is still a powerfully bullish period of time. We will know what a pullback and consolidation looks like. At the very minimum, the progression of higher reaction lows would have to be broken. I've posted this chart today in Comment of the Day, the MSCI World, and it is also breaking to new highs. Perhaps more important is the fact that it was able to move to new highs in 2007, but it took a while for it to get back to the new highs in 2015. It had a fairly sharp pullback, which was relatively similar to that one that we saw in 2011, and now it is breaking on the upside once more. If a range is an explosion waiting to happen, then we can anticipate that this breakout should be sustained. If we look at the euro stocks, then if the Nasdaq is the index that is leading on the upside, well, then this is playing catch up, or at least has the potential to play catch up. It has rallied rather impressively so far this year. It is back in the region of the 2015 peak, but it is still a long way from breaking out to new all-time highs, that it didn't quite get back to its peak. But if we contrast the Euro stocks with the stocks 600, which includes the non-Euro, then we're presented with a different story. And the Euro stocks price index has been ranging for 17 years. It is pushing back up towards that 400 point level. And now we get perhaps a better picture, because the FTSE 100 has already broken out. it looked really quite similar to this, but it has been outperforming. Whereas the DAX index, which is also a fairly substantial weighting within the Euro stocks, has been performing more in line with the US. That it broke out in 2013. It has had a almost 2-year consolidation, and it is now pushing to new all-time highs. So this, I think, you know, it gives us at least some idea that this really is a powerfully bullish period of time, and that the chances are that, and I think the balance of probabilities is that we are in a secular bull market. When we look at Japan, I think that there is perhaps no market would benefit more from the return of inflation. And I really do have to move back out from 20 to 50 years to get really a full view of what this market looks like, because it has been ranging below 1750 for 24 years. And it has, for the first time, it has steadied. Every time that it got up to that level, it collapsed and made a new low. On this occasion, it has held the majority of the advance. It is now firming from that 1500 area. And a sustained move above 1750 would suggest that we are in a new secular bull market for Japanese equities as well. And I don't really believe that that is something that the wider market is prepared for at all. When we look at, and I posted a number of ASEAN market indices yesterday, and there is a generally firm tone right across the region. When we look at, for example, India, then this is also a market which ranged for a year and a half and is breaking on the upside. So we are in a period of time where we're getting synchronized global stock market expansion. There is the potential that we are, in fact, in a period of global economic expansion, synchronized global economic expansion, and it has been a decade since we've been able to utter those words. So certainly there are bullish considerations. Now, of course, there are also there are a number of things to worry about, because when has that never been the case? And earnings are certainly going to be front and center. And what we do have is we have Apple and Facebook this week, and these are, I think they are being priced at least to come in ahead of expectations. So we certainly have a bullish environment. We also know that the first sign of trouble will likely be when we see downward dynamics. When we look at Brent crude, then we're getting quite a different story. The price bounced last week from the region of $50 and pulled right back to that level again today. $50 is both a psychological level, but when we look at that weekly chart, it I think highlights the importance of this level, because it represents the progression of higher reaction lows. $60 has been quite a barrier. It also helps to ram home the point that this is not an environment where we have to worry about energy prices, that there is ample supply. We went through a decade-long investment cycle to increase supply, and supply has increased. And on top of that, technology has improved, so that previously inaccessible reserves are now accessible. And one of the, I think, one of the most popular points that was made by the big bulls in the last decade was that there hadn't been any major new discoveries in a long time. But what has happened is that we've had major technological discoveries which have succeeded in being able to bring a lot more oil to market. And the net result is that that U.S. unconventional domestic production, onshore domestic production, is now the swing producer. And their ability to continue to supply in and be profitable around this $50 area, well, that represents really quite a challenge for the rest of the suppliers, because their cost of production in nominal terms might be lower, but they have allowed their social costs to increase really quite substantially. Gold prices are still hovering here around $1,250. They've pulled back towards the region of the trend mean and steadied somewhat. Platinum moved to a new low, and it really does now need to turn around in a dynamic manner to confirm that there is support in this area. It is a rather odd situation that platinum is trading so far below the price of gold and is in fact approaching lows relative to the palladium price that we haven't seen in a decade. Palladium prices are at $815, so they're closing in on the platinum price really quite quickly. And I think the very big question that everyone has is what's going to happen with the bond market. Bond yields broke down, they bounced from the region of the trend mean, they are now testing the lower side of the overhead range. It is ready for the bears to prove whether yields can push back above the 2.4% and signal a failed downside break. What we can certainly see from the bond markets is that nobody is willing to price in the potential for inflation, but yet inflation is out there on the horizon, that we are seeing wage growth, and that in tandem with the fact that we have a reasonably tight labor market, that really does contribute to inflationary pressures rising. I think part of the reason that inflation has not been hitting more headlines is because energy prices have been so weak, but that is beginning to wash out of the statistics. The big rally took place in oil prices last year, and by the time we get towards the middle of this year, the full impact of those oil price rises from last year will have washed out entirely, and that will then give us a clearer view on what exactly we're getting with inflationary pressures. But I think the other thing that we have to keep an eye on is wage growth. Wage growth is definitely out there on the horizon, not least because minimum wages are going up, but also because major corporations are raising wages and well above the inflation rate. The French election is going to be this Sunday, and when we look at the CAC index, we can see that it gapped higher following the first round. It has already priced in a Macron victory, and in that regard, there is little to be gained by anticipating the result at this stage, because the only way that one could make money would be to really not by buying right away, because if they've already priced in the potential outcome, but rather potentially to look for the potential for a pullback if the margin of victory is very narrow, which I suspect is going to be quite likely, or indeed if Le Pen were to win, that could really be the catalyst to unwind what is a short-term overbought condition, and not just in France. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.